Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of...
Happy New Year.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe it. It's the new year.
We're into January, which means we're just that much closer to my show in February. And also my show in April in Chicken Cordon Bleu, Idaho. However you say that town.
What did I say? Chore?
I don't know. Look at my tour dates. I'm probably near you soon, hopefully.
Have you ever heard of Tonda Dickerson?
Tonda's a real name?
Tonda Dickerson, yeah.
Tonda.
And they're like, I wonder why she quit. And then they see her on TV collecting lottery winnings.
And they're like, you think she's coming in tomorrow?
This does not seem like a jury of your peers. It's a jury of your enemies.
I'll raise a hallelujah in a jury of my enemies.
Things I learned last night.
So, Tonda.
Tonda, yes.
Her parents were like, we like the name Rhonda and Tonka Trucks. Let's just... Tonda?
Tonda, yep.
Tonda, a woman?
It's a woman. That's a woman.
Okay. Tonda, what was last name?
Don't you know any Tondas? Tonda Dickerson.
Dickerson? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Buckle up, because this is your favorite kind of episode.
Is it? Is it a heist?
No.
All right.
What do you think it is?
I know what it is. It's aliens.
No. It's a Waffle House episode.
Oh, for real? Wait, for real?
Yeah, for real. This is a Waffle House episode.
Tonda? She sounds like she works at Waffle House. I love it, dude. She sounds like she's back there bare hand on the grill just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Like she does it for heat. She's like, my hands are cold.
My hands are cold. Now I feel so alive. Much better. Have you seen? I saw this video yesterday about them explaining their
who's them?
Waffle House.
Okay.
I saw a video yesterday about Waffle House explaining the way they set their plates for their cooks. Have you ever seen this?
No.
It's the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. You need to look up a video of this. So they call out the order, right?
Yeah, they yell.
We've all been to Waffle House. They yell the order, and I've always been curious, and I'm sure you are too. How do these chefs remember all of this? Because they get just yelled at nonstop what to make.
They yell it back.
Yeah, but it's a lot of stuff that's just yelled at them. Well, what they do, they yell the order at them. And while they're yelling it, I don't know if you've ever noticed, they're putting a plate down and they're setting stuff on the plate. And the position and the items that they set on the plate is the order. And so if they put a packet of butter face down on the bottom of the plate, it's a standard waffle. If they flip it over, then it's like a vanilla waffle. If they put a chocolate chip on it, it's a chocolate chip waffle. And so it's like, but if they put the butter at the top, it's scrambled eggs. And so it's like everywhere they place things on the plate is a different symbol for what it is. It's like it's kind of like if they wrote
like
it down.
Like a code.
It's insane. Look it up. Look up the
Why
video.
Why don't they just
write it down? I don't know.
Right. Because it's cooler.
It is very cool.
Also, it ensures that just no one can just get back there and run the grill.
It's true. You can't just put anybody back there.
Kyle Kinane is a comedian who has a really funny bit about being Freaky Friday'd. Because he's like, you know, if someone gets, you know what I'm saying? Like if he gets Freaky Friday'd and like with one of those, you know, Benihana chefs, he's like, I'm stuck in a Benihana trying to figure out a grill, but that guy is on a stage somewhere with just a list of words, you know, because like my set list just says podcast, Biff, young ghosts, like I know what those mean, but yeah, they don't.
He doesn't know.
But if you got Freaky Friday with a Waffle House chef,
yeah, they're like, don't look at the
and
plate.
Like, did you not see that the butter had a chocolate chip on it? And you're like,
there's a tomato, and next to the tomato is half a slice of cheese. Don't you know what that means?
Oh, I'm dumb.
I'm
sorry.
Dumb It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Sorry, I didn't know your secret language.
I told them what to cook on the grill, and no one knew. So Tonda, she was a Waffle House waitress.
Bro, should we work at Waffle House? Should we go get hired at Waffle House?
That's a pretty funny bit.
It's a really funny bit to have a normal job. Yeah, we sound really out of touch right now. Roll that theme song. Support us on Patreon.
Yeah, man. What do you do? You know, I'm just like, dude, I'm trying not to work myself, too much. Just out here, myself.
Really kind of doing my own thing.
But anyways, my shift starts in 5 minutes.
I love it here.
My hands feel so much better now. They're so burnt.
Dude, the B12's got my skin looking green.
I think your skin looks green because you're sticking your hands all over that stove.
You wouldn't get it.
Yeah. Waffle House employees are the only ones who get this. So it's 1999.
Okay.
Not 1899.
Sure.
1999. She's working at a Waffle House in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, yeah. I remember Mobile.
And there is a, they have a regular by the name of Edward Seward. And okay. Edward had this little quirk about him where he didn't tip in cash. Instead.
He didn't tip in cash?
Yeah. Instead, okay. He tipped with lottery tickets. And this was a big deal because, one, it's weird, obviously. Two, the lottery is illegal in Mobile, Alabama. Well, in all of Alabama, at least in 99.
In 99.
And so he, and it was also...
Wait, he's coming over from like Louisiana side then.
Well, he was driving to Florida. And so he was driving an hour to Pensacola, picking up a literal like booklet of lottery tickets. And he would just hold on to those for a month.
Oh, and he lives in Mobile though.
Yeah, he lives in Mobile.
Okay.
And then he would order and then he would have an envelope.
He's tipping in a lottery ticket.
He would have an envelope. Like, he'd leave an envelope and he'd write their name on it.
If Lady Luck is on your side,
yeah,
you get 20% of this. And that's generous of me.
Yeah, so he would write their name on it.
It'd be even more psychotic if you were like, at the end of the meal, you were like, thank you. Here's exact change for my meal. And would you just stand right there for a second?
It's a scratch up. Ah, you get
you didn't
nothing.
Win anything today. Sorry.
Nothing today.
Ah.
Yeah. Your coworker got $100.
Cross your fingers
last night,
tomorrow.
Though. Yeah. You never know what's gonna happen. So do your best.
See you later, Ton. See you later, Topanga. See you or whatever. Tongo.
Yeah, he calls her Tonka because he's a jerk. Hey Tonka. My name's Tonda.
Same thing to me.
So he writes their name on an envelope and has the lottery ticket in there, and every time he orders, he does it for the whole staff.
Restaurant.
Everybody gets a lottery ticket, not just one of
that's
them.
That's so risky because when that's someone does win, everyone at the restaurant wants a cut. You know,
yeah. So
I know where the story's going.
So one day,
Tonda wins.
One day, Tonda is his regular waitress. Normally, he goes in, he requests Tonda.
Oh, but someone else. Tonda's gone.
And so, yeah, one day Tonda's not there, and so he tips and he's like, where's Tonda? And they're like, oh, she's not in today. And he's like, well, I'll hold on to one for her and I'll give it to her tomorrow. So the next day she's in and he gives her the other ticket.
Oh.
She serves him, does the whole shift, whatever. At the end of the shift, she goes and checks because now the lottery was last night. So the winner has already been drawn for this. It's a winner. $10 million jackpot. She won it. And she calls her dad and is like, hey, I need you. What was the lottery win yesterday? He confirms it and she's like, oh my gosh, I won $10 million. And so she and her dad talk it through and they call a financial planner and they set up an LLC called 9 Mil, which is kind of sick.
9 Mil LLC.
Yeah, which is pretty sick.
Did you take the LLC out of our Spotify name?
I don't know. I did.
Good.
I was messing with you when I said, when I was,
why did
when
you put it on there to begin with?
Well, that was in like, because when you sign up for an account and ask you all for all your business information, it just did it. Like it just added that. I didn't think it was going to add that.
Oh.
It was like, what's the business name? And I put the business name in. And
with
then
an LLC at the end.
Yeah, I want them to know we mean business. I want them to know we mean LLC. Okay. I ain't LL joking.
DeLorean Media Company.
LLC.
LLC.
Oh, DeLorean is not a media company.
It's incorporated.
Is it incorporated? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, none of this is important. What's
she got
most 9 mil.
9 mil
LLC.
Cool.
And the reason she set up this LLC is she would own 49.5% of the LLC, and her family, she split up the other 49.5%. So her husband, her parents, her siblings all got cuts of what the company owned. And she collected the lottery innings through the LLC. So 9 mil. Got the lottery winnings.
Okay.
The idea here is everybody can get it and it's not a gift. It's their owners of a company that got it, which is clever. So she wins this. She goes and collects. And everyone else is like, man, Tonda quit. Can you believe Tonda quit? And they're like, I wonder why she quit. And then they see her on TV collecting the lottery winnings.
And they're like, oh.
They're like, oh, She won the lottery.
She's coming in tomorrow.
And they're like, that's.
Do you give a 2 weeks notice if you win the lottery? Do you know if you win the lottery? Do you still go, hey, I'm out in 2 weeks, or do you just go, you know what?
It depends who you are. It depends who your boss is, and it depends how much you like your job.
Fair.
I think if you're like just a super noble person, you probably do it no matter what. If your boss sucks, you're not doing it.
Yeah,
but if you love your boss, you're doing it.
Sure.
And then if you hate your job, you're not doing it. Mm-mm. If you love your job, you might stick around for a couple of weeks. Who knows?
Okay.
It just depends on the situation.
What would you do?
I would stick around for a while.
You're just saying that because you know they listen.
No, I 100%. Like I appreciate my team. I wouldn't put them in a spot like that. Mm. And I would stick around as long as they needed me, honestly.
Cool. There you go. There's your LinkedIn.
I'll stick around as long as you need me.
Yeah. Put that on LinkedIn. Oh, I love my team. I'm just really grateful for... I think that I... Dude, I can't be in another meeting with you. No, that's a good call out. I... Jeez, man.
Jaren doesn't like it that I'm professional.
Mm. No. No one likes it that you're professional. Dude, you hang up sometimes. I stay back in some of these calls. You hang up and I apologize. Go, hey, guys, that was stupid, wasn't it? Yeah. And they're all like, yeah, what the frick was that about?
Why does he talk like that?
Yeah, and then finally everyone pulls out their freaking, they're taking shots. And they're like, you're like, whoa, okay.
This is
like,
a video call. I was
like, guys, this isn't that. Chill. They're like, all right.
It's 2:00 in the afternoon, you guys.
Meetings are over. Let's get going, you know? And then some other guy's like, you guys, you want to break free from the rat race?
You ever think about what are all just rats racing around this little looking for some cheese?
Man, you guys can play the lottery, sure, but the faster way to wealth is to use these energy drinks.
Excess, baby.
Jeez. This broadcast is sponsored by Amway. Would you like your life ruined and none of your dreams to actually come true? Would you like to be bait and switched for the next 10 years? Would you like to be constantly chasing a carrot?
Yeah. And if you're successful... Good news. You get to do the bait and switching.
Would you like to abuse people?
Great.
Would you? It's all the fun of toxic church without the spiritual harm. Oh,
God. Have you ever thought it's I wish like, I could manipulate people?
It's like
people
Chuck E. Cheese being a youth group without all that God stuff. Amway is a toxic church system without all the God stuff. So you can follow Jesus and feel good about manipulating others.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, that's great. Everybody
so Tonda wins.
Tonda wins. And then the coworkers
are like, hey, are like, we deserve some of that.
Well, they're like, what the heck? Allegedly. There's some disagreement. But they're like, allegedly, we had a deal. If any of us won, we would split it across all of us. Because they've been doing this for a while. Like he's a regular. He does this all the time. So they've talked about it and they've all been like, yeah, we win. We'll split it. We'll split it with everybody. Which sounds like a likely scenario. But Tonda was like, I was never part of that deal. Tonda's like, no, I wasn't going to do that.
Do we have a picture of who Tonda looks like?
Oh, yeah. I can show you. I forgot to put it in my presenter. Hold on. I've got them all downloaded. But yeah, Tonda was like, I was never going to do that. You guys, she's like, you guys.
So Tonda is guys, like the, you know, week 12 of Big Brother. And she's like, yeah, I mean, like that was an alliance.
Yeah.
But
like, it wasn't my final two.
That wasn't my for real.
So this is Tonda. This is,
I love it. Is that Tonda's mom? Is that Momda?
Momda. If you're listening, go look it up. You need to see it. I don't know why this is the picture that they used. But yeah, Tonda is sitting in her dining room, I'm assuming. Oh. And that's her son in the background of this
show. This is the house she bought after her winnings?
I think this is the house she had before.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't think she ever got around to buying a house, which we can cover in a second.
We'll get into.
So they, the rest of the coworkers are like, we want our piece. So they take her to court.
No.
And they say we had a verbal agreement that part of this was ours. So four of them took her to court and were like, we all need our share. I mean, they split it five ways. She can have her fifth. We all get our fifth. And this goes to court and they do this whole hearing. It's a long proceeding. Her attorney... on record calls them rats, which they kind of are.
These are just some Waffle House rats.
These are just rats. So he calls them rats. And they
that
go
doesn't
through,
that doesn't go well with a judge.
Well, he said all of her coworkers are, his direct quote is, they're rats coming out of the woodwork. And so they do the whole hearing, whatever. It takes the jury 45 minutes to decide she does need to give them each of their fifth.
Oh, I'd be so mad,
because
dude,
they had a verbal agreement.
That's so stupid.
And so she calls up a different lawyer and she's like, hey, do you think we can get this overturned?
Can we appeal this?
Yeah. And he was like, oh, absolutely, I got you covered. And so he's
like, all it would take is 4/5 of what you've earned.
And so he puts together an appeal, and in their appeal, what he says is, he says, no verbal agreement between any parties is valid when it comes to the lottery, because the lottery is illegal in Alabama. So that is not valid. And so they don't
but
have
then
any.
It just discounts her winnings.
Well, they said that they don't have any stake to the claim off of hers.
So then she doesn't either, though.
Well,
by that defense.
They ruled, okay, yeah, you're right. And so she got to keep the full thing after this.
Okay.
Because of this hearing. I should say, too, this is a very important detail. She did not elect to receive the lump sum. She chose the 30-year annuity, which was $375,000 a year, which is not the way to do it. I know some people might say that's the more financial planners will say.
Okay.
That's stupid. Take the lump sum. It's less money up front, but you do not count
you
on
you can multiply.
Yeah, do not count on the government to pay you. At any point, the United States could fall. And you're out.
Okay.
You're out your cash.
So you're saying put the lump sum in a high yield savings account.
Yeah, yeah.
You would get more.
Let yourself decide. And yeah, you invest that, you turn it into more. And with a lump sum, if you do the right things with it, you'll end up with way more money in the long run anyways. If you take just that $375 a year, you're not taking that much.
Sure.
Don't do the annuity. It's tempting. That's why they do it. Because they can.
Because they can just stop.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah. So anyways.
So she's still getting paid on this, though. She's supposed to be still getting paid on this.
So this whole thing goes through. They overturn it. And then the original guy who bought the ticket, Edward Seward, comes forward. And it's like, well, hey, wait, hold on a second.
I bought that ticket.
He's like, we had a deal that if you won the lottery, you'd buy me a new gray pickup truck with a stripe down the middle of it.
And I wrote that down. Actually, I didn't write it down. I had a plate with a little butter upside down, and that meant gray truck, one stripe.
One stripe.
Everyone knows.
Everybody
knows that. What's that mean?
Ask any Waffle House chef, and they will tell you that's what that means. And so she goes to court.
Get a jury full of Waffle House chefs. Got to take a lot of smoke breaks in the middle of this every 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes of court.
All right, we're going to take a quick smoke recess.
One of the jurors raises their hand and the judge is like, again?
Again? Really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't grab one last time. I wasn't part of the last smoke break.
I wasn't.
Why didn't you?
Well, we had a verbal agreement.
Sorry, we're all sharing this pack of Marlboro Reds.
Yeah.
We
because
can't.
She wouldn't split the lottery with us. Wait, and now splitting a carton of cigs.
This does not seem like a jury of your peers. This is a jury of your enemies. That sounds like, I think, hold on. Patent pending.
I'll raise a hallelujah. In a jury of my enemies.
No, here's patent pending. Game show.
Cool.
Where
I'm on board already.
The entire jury is your biggest enemies.
Heck yeah.
And you have to win in court where the jury is against you.
Shoot.
I like this idea.
We can call it a court of thorn and roses.
We're on to something here. Patent pending.
Patent pending. Trademark.
Pending.
No, we can call it You know, Reagan and I want to go on divorce court. We don't want to get divorced, but it's a, yeah. it's all actors.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty fun.
And we want to go on divorce court. Yeah. Now that we're living out in LA, we're going to be
That'd doing be fun a lot when you visit home stuff. In Mount Vernon and everyone's like, I'm so sorry about the divorce.
Yeah. Cause they all watch divorce court. They keep up with it, dude. Everyone in Mount Vernon's just like, oh,
they
damn.
DVR it.
Every day they DVR it. No, they're taking VHS tapes of it. Dude. They recorded it on VHS and they watch reruns of divorce court. They're actually a couple seasons behind too. They're not like they haven't caught up on divorce court.
Tonda, did you record over my divorce court?
Did you record over my divorce court? No, I'm trying to think of what you'd call that show.
I don't know. I don't have any ideas yet. Well, I don't have to brainstorm it, but I like the concept. Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like it and you want to support, be a part of what we're doing here, you can do that by becoming a patron. What happens there is you get to be in the community. We have a Discord with our hosted producers. We have a lot of fun. We're super active in there every day. You get access to ad-free content a week before everybody else. And we have a Zoom every month with our patrons. We hang out, we eat pizza, we get to know you a little bit better. It's a blast. And there's a ton of other different benefits like merch discounts, birthday messages, things like that that are super cool. If you want to be in that, you can just text Tillin to 66866 and that'll get you right in there. If not, we're just super glad that you're here and thanks for watching our show. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Okay.
Anyways, so Tonda she goes to court with Edward and then, or was that his name? Edward Seward? Edward
yeah.
Seward. That's right. Edward just wants his truck. And so they go to court over this.
She can afford it.
They go over to court over this. And again, she wins. They're like,
I don't owe you anything.
You gifted it to her. There's no like written agreement. It was in Alabama. It's illegal anyways there. So this is invalid. So now she's got a lot of enemies. And
perfect candidate for our show.
Hey, remember all the courts you were in?
You know who else is a perfect candidate for our show? The manager at my apartment complex. I'd love to put him on the stand.
I like the idea. I like the idea that the contestants do not know that the jury is going to be their enemies.
Still doing this.
Like the contestants come on and then they're like, all right,
no jury, lawyers. It's just your verbal arguments.
But you're against a real lawyer. The lawyer's good.
Yeah. The lawyer is so good. Okay.
By the end of it, you think you're in the wrong.
Yeah. You're like, shoot, man.
Shoot. I suck. But then the judge is like, all rise. And then everybody rises and they're like, please welcome the jury. And the jury walks in from backstage with the fireworks and everything. Is that what? I've never been to court. And they walk out and then there's the big reveal.
It could be called court fronted.
Court fronted. I like that.
Or confront court. Or.
And that's the moment you realize who is the jury. Like they don't know that they're facing their enemies until that moment. And they're like, oh my gosh.
I like a spinoff of The Bachelor where it's all the girls you sent home. You know? That's a good way to spin this show.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And are you looking for love or are you? It's still court. But it's all
they're
the
jury.
They're the jury
in the divorce that you're having from the girl that you chose. and you
decide
having,
how much you get to take home.
Yeah.
It changes the game because now when you're the bachelor, you got to think about jury management.
And hold on. What if at the end of The Bachelor, all the girls you send home get to vote on which girl you choose from the final two?
They decide. You don't get to decide
who the girl
who they think is the best. Oh my gosh.
Dadgum, dude. We should be scummy TV producers.
Anyways.
Patent pending on all of that.
Yeah, you can't steal any of that or we'll sue your brains out.
That's a verbal agreement and that's...
We'll sue your brains out in front of a jury of your enemies. And it's legal in the state of Missouri, so you can't fight it.
You know what's legal in the state of Missouri?
Murder. It's legal here. They legalized it recently.
They went for it.
When they were like, you know what? Why are we pretending? We all love it.
We freaking love it, dude. Freaking love it. I'll show you.
Come over here. Let me show you. You know what my favorite crime is?
Okay. All righty then. So she's making enemies wherever she goes.
Well,
it's a bunch of people who want her money for sure.
Yeah. So now, as if things
more money, more problems.
This is like a 2-year long thing.
Yeah.
She's racked up a lot of lawyer bills, legal bills. And here's the thing. She took the annuity. So she's making $357,000 a year.
But now she owes
a lot of money. And that got tied up for a second. So she's still working because she's not...
At Waffle House?
Yeah, she's working. She's working
among the coworkers.
She came back and she interviewed. And they're putting plates out with the butter on the left side.
And she goes, God, that's the middle finger to them.
Yeah, you can't say that out loud.
You got to blur it if you take a picture of it. We got one.
Yeah. It's like a 2-year long thing, and they thought they won the lottery, and they're still living like they haven't.
Yeah.
Because they're paying so much legal debt, and so the stress of the whole ordeal leads to her and her husband splitting up. Here they are after their divorce court.
Shoot.
And
what's he doing in this photo?
He's waving.
Okay.
It's like, hey guys. Hello, I'm the husband that's leaving.
And this is the year 90. This is 2001.
Yeah. So they split up and he in the divorce was able to make out.
He's already had such a rough year.
Yeah.
In 2001, look at his hat. Chevrolet Racing.
What happened?
2001?
In Chevrolet Racing.
That's a rough year for that guy. Because not only is his money tied up, you know, for one lottery, Dale Earnhardt died.
Did he die in 2001?
Bro, man, one of my buddies here in Kansas City, Dustin Slintz, a very funny comedian, has a really good joke. Okay, so I mean, like, they're having a rough time.
Yeah, so they get this divorce, and he ends up taking half of the winnings. Remember, it's an annuity, so that's like 150-some thousand a year. Okay. It's now what? He's like 100.
But he's not in the debt to the lawyers.
No, yeah, no, she is.
Shoot, man.
So... Now she's bringing in half of what she was bringing in, which is still a very good salary, but it's a salary. It's not, this is not millions of dollars, right? It got worse because then the IRS said, oh, hey, remember when you won the lottery and you gifted your family a bunch of money? You didn't pay gift tax on that. So you owe us $2 million.
So the LLC did not work.
Yeah, the IRS figured it out. And they were like, you owe us gift tax on that. And so they were like, that's $2 million that you owe us. And she has not made $2 million. And so she goes to court with the IRS and now is paying legal fees for that. And is trying to figure out, okay, I can't pay a gift tax. And we set this up like they're owners. They're not, it wasn't a gift, whatever.
So that's on the financial advisor though, right? Because that's bad advice.
Interesting. That's interesting. I don't know. Yeah,
that's the defense I would have taken. It's like, you just took the advice of a financial advisor.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't know. I don't know what.
We should contact her and be like, hey.
Hey, you want to do another lawsuit?
You know.
Remember the courts that you were in? What if the jury
what
was
if
a
the
little
jury
different?
Was your enemies?
What if the jury was your ex-husband and
the judge was
coworkers?
Judy.
That would.
And the judge was Steve Harvey.
Unqualified, but
he has a judge. He has a judge show.
Is he a judge?
He's got a judge show.
Is he a judge?
on the show, he's a judge.
But is he allowed to? Like, is he a real judge?
So when you go on those shows, yeah, right, you're Oh, go ahead. I was talking, but
are you,
sure.
Are you saying they're actors? You like you understand that?
No. I'm saying like, so Judge Judy, right?
Yeah.
Those are real cases sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
What they typically do, they do this for Dr. Phil as well, is like, so we went to the taping of Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
They filmed two episodes, much like what we're doing today. And one of them is serious and one of them is not. Anyway,
I expected you not to notice that. I thought it'd be funny if I just progressively got smaller. And you didn't notice. I was trying to sneak that. Okay. You saw it happen.
So anyway. Were you at the top earlier?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I was going to get away with that.
All right. So anyway, from up here, top of Mount Vernon over here. No. So they'll do one episode that's like a serious episode.
Yeah.
And they'll do one that's like, this is clickbait, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, and when you go on Judge Judy with a serious case,
yeah,
you're signing a waiver that is basically like whatever she determines is like you're giving her whatever that right is to make the call on your
case.
Yeah, you're settling it
even
out
though
of
she's
court.
Not a judge.
She's not a judge.
Yeah, so you're settling out of court.
You're settling
legally
out of court.
What's happening. Okay.
Right. Legally what's happening is you're settling out of court with a third party mediator.
Okay. It's like
you're naming her. Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
And so
Steve Harvey can do that because it's the same thing.
Because you're signing a waiver and being like, whatever, I'll honor whatever she decides.
Interesting.
Now Judge Judy did used to be a real judge.
Uh-huh. But on the show, she's not anymore.
Well, yeah, but she was a real judge, so she knows law.
She knows what's going
on.
Some
of those judge shows
they're
just actors.
Yeah.
You know?
We should have Bowie Jane be our judge.
You know that we could actually make that happen, right?
Bowie Jane?
You know that we could get those people on our show if we want.
I think so, yeah.
I don't think so. I know so.
Why?
Because I know how to do that now.
Okay. Anyways.
I live in Hollywood.
Let me mention this before I forget, before we move on too far. I forgot to show you.
I know the guy who combs Edward. Steve Harvey's mustache every morning.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you're enjoying this, let me recommend Timothy Dexter. It's one of my favorite episodes, not just because the content's great, but because it was our live episode. We shot that in front of a live audience, just like Dr. Phil. And it was awesome. You won't believe
what?
The diagnosis. But anyways, hey, thanks for being here. There's actually two of them.
Two of them, one for each side.
Yeah. Well, I have an understudy too. Each of them have an understudy.
Three of them.
There's four.
There's, you know, and he's just by his phone. He gets a text at lunch. He's like, oh, hold on. Sorry, it's just my mom.
It's just my mom.
I was really hoping it was Steve Harvey's assistant.
He's at the birth of his child and he gets the text. And he's like, honey, I got to go. Steve needs me. Pulls the comb. He's got it in like a concealed carry holster. I'm always packing.
Jeez.
No, I wanted to show you. I forgot to show you this, but I wanted to show you Edward Seward during the court battle.
Okay.
Sorry, wrong one.
Wait, what was that?
That was a picture I took earlier. No, yeah, this is us. Look at that.
Oh, how tall I was.
Anyways, this is Edward Seward walking into his court battle, trying to get his truck with a single strike.
This is 2000, the year 2000.
This is like 2003 or
2003. Like, he's severely sunburnt.
Yeah, he goes to Florida.
He's severely sunburnt on his chest. And
he does.
He looks like what Alex could look like. When he's older,
he looks like the kind of guy who would tip in lottery tickets.
Yeah, he's got what I would describe as the Beatles haircut.
Yeah, it's definitely a Beatles haircut.
And these two women next to him look like they're in one of those cult documentaries where they're like, they're both married to him. You know? Yeah,
I can see that. I can see that. So anyways, that's
Edward. That was the style in early 2000s. It was. Just dressing like you're in a cult. You're in a
cult. Yeah, that was the thing. I was listening to a podcast.
The fashion style is called cult classic.
I was listening to a podcast this morning where they talked about the 90s. It was a British podcast. And so they're talking about the 90s. Okay. And then they talked about the 2000s. But in Britain, I guess, we call it the 2000s, right?
They call it the aughts.
He called it the noughts.
The noughts?
Yeah, he called it the noughts.
I think they're saying
no, aughts. He said it was a very clear in because I scrolled back because I was like, did he just call the 2000s the noughts?
Oh, well, he's just wrong then. The noughties? Is that what you just... Did you add that?
No, because he said... He did.
He called it the noughties.
He did. Because he said the 90s and then the noughties. That's what he said. He straight up said the noughties.
He must not have meant to.
He said the noughties. But anyways,
that's
all I'm saying from now on. It's the noughties. So the IRS... She gets in the suit with the IRS. And the IRS says, you owe us gift tax and that's $2 million.
Because did her family get the payouts?
Yeah, they did. They're getting the annuities too.
She's the one who's not getting the payout right now.
Well, she did it for a minute. And then, well, I guess nobody did it for a minute.
During the initial battle, nobody
was getting it. And then she started getting it. So actually, I was saying she was getting $375, but that was the full. So she was getting 49% of that. And then she split the 49% with her husband after the lawsuit.
And he kept his part.
Yeah, and he kept his gray chuck with a stripe.
Stripe on it.
He bought that right after the court date and drove it.
And Edward was like,
"Is that my?
I wanted that truck.
That was the truck I wanted. That was mine." And he bought a bulldozer.
Dang it. I was just going to say, I'd like a gray bulldozer with a white stripe. The words were coming out of my mouth. You stole them from me. You ripped them out from under me. And I'll never forget that.
Is that why you moved to California? Are you shopping? Anyways, the IRS, so she goes to court with the IRS and the IRS wins, obviously. The mm-hmm. IRS never loses in court. That's not possible.
Yeah. They got guys on the inside.
Yeah. And so they have a jury of their peers.
Yeah. Judge Judy also owes them money. So
yeah, she starts to do it. And then in the earpiece that they have implanted in her brain, they said,
They
said, remember what you owe us right before she read her verdict.
Okay.
And so she changed her mind. And she said, yeah, that was a gift. You owe gift tax. But fortunately, good news.
We'll just take it off every year.
Well, no, they said depreciation. The economy's down. So it's not worth $2 million now. It's actually worth $750,000. So that's the only gift tax you owe. But still, at this point, she's earning half of what that was. So it would have been, she's probably taking home like $90,000 a year right now. So, and she owes $750,000 in back taxes now.
Yeah.
For that gift tax. so she's in a pretty bad spot. Gets a job working in
Waffle House.
No, we're going to say it together at the same time. On the count of three.
Working in?
Yeah, working. It's a new city near Mobile, Alabama. We'll say it at the same time and see if we can get it.
Okay? Sure.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. Portland,
Birmingham.
Oregon. Birmingham? No, Biloxi, Mississippi. A great place that we've visited.
Yeah. I've also visited Mobile.
I visited Mobile too.
Yeah.
But we visited Biloxi together and we had crawfish in Biloxi.
That's right.
And it was, honestly, I didn't really like seafood at the time and I liked it. Situation is rough.
Yeah.
Bringing about $90,000 in this annuity, probably having to give most of that back to the IRS in payments for back taxes. She gets a job in Biloxi, Mississippi as a poker dealer at a casino out there. One day she's walking.
She's like, well, gambling hasn't ruined my life enough.
She says, I'm going to go to work today. So she walks out to her driveway, gets in her car, and hiding in the back seat is not her ex-husband, but her other ex-husband, the ex-husband before this ex-husband, who was like, you never gave me any of that lottery. And she's like, I never got any of that lottery. And he kidnaps her and he takes her to a secluded swamp and gets into a boat and starts boating out into the swamp with her. And is like, you never gave me any of the lottery and I'm going to kill you for it.
What?
She is trying to figure out what she's going to do. Her phone starts ringing in her purse and she says, hey, if I don't answer that, they're going to know I'm missing and they're going to catch you. And he said, and so she's like, no, he's like, no, you can't answer that. And she's like, they're going to find out if I don't answer. It's not like,
so she answers it. She just goes upside down butter with a chocolate chip on top.
And he's like, what did you say to them?
I just told them
what kind of butter I like.
What kind of butter I like.
Plate. I just told them how I like to set my plate. So she reaches in her bag and doesn't grab her phone, grabs her gun.
Heck yeah, and dude.
Shoots him in the chest.
Oh my gosh.
And he survives.
Falls into the swamp though. he still lives out there.
You can hear him. He if you go out there, he's just says lottery numbers.
4, 8.
None of them have won. You're sinking.
Much like he was. He's just.
No, he falls over in the swamp. She drives back to shore and she takes him to the hospital and he ends up surviving his wounds. She presses charges.
She takes him to the hospital?
No, she takes him to the hospital.
Okay.
Great, great Torexes. He would not be in the jury because, I mean,
attempted murder.
It's a big thing. Yeah.
Is there anybody here who has a reason for not being in this jury? I tried to kill her once. Juror number 6, you can be dismissed.
I'm in the public eye.
I don't know who you are.
But she ends up not getting in trouble herself. They ruled it self-defense. They said, you're clear. You're not in trouble. I know that's what I said that word. I felt weird about it. She didn't catch any charges for that.
Okay.
Because they're like, that's self-defense. You're clear. But yeah, the lottery absolutely ruined her life. That happened.
So what's happened to her today?
It's hard to find any information about her now. She's kind of started to live under the radar after, you know, someone tried to kill her over the lottery.
Sure.
But
is she still getting paid out?
Yeah, probably. But I mean, it's a 30-year payment, so she would be receiving that still. I mean, she's coming close to the end of it.
Jeez, man.
But it's not making what she could have. Should have took the lump sum. Should have invested it. Just saying.
Damn.
Just saying.
Tonda, Tonda, Tonda.
This is not financial advice.
If you are to win the lottery, purposes. You need to go invest that in your downstream of people.
Yeah.
Because the only way to get to the top is to have people underneath you.
Got
to
have them below you.
Yeah. That's, you got to pay people to be below you.
Yeah. Get. Yeah. That's how it works. Anyways, the legend says though that to this day at that Waffle House.
Oh,
if you go on lottery night,
lottery night at Waffle House,
lottery night.
Which night is that?
Wednesdays and Sundays, I think.
Okay.
I think. I'm pretty sure. But if you go on lottery nights and you go out to that specific Waffle House.
On the jukebox.
While the numbers are being read on the TV.
Yeah.
In the jukebox. It looks, you can unplug it if you want. You can unplug the jukebox. There's no stopping it. And it plays a little fiddle off. Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you liked it, you can subscribe or watch some more episodes or some clips. But then I need to make this like 20 seconds. My producer said it has to be longer, so I'm just going to keep talking for a little bit. And is this long enough, Connor? Okay, cool. Yeah, thanks for being here.